fighting for America.
Washington, D.C. has never been more divided, more dysfunctional, or less productive than it's been in the last 6 years under President Barack Obama.
Fighting for Idaho.
It's currently an open season against Islam, Muslims in Washington, Muslims in the general media, dehumanizing Muslims in movies like American Sniper.
Fighting for you.
He didn't want handouts. He didn't want anyone to feel sorry for him. Ryan Jobe was just grateful and gracious, just an exceptional human being. I think we should all try to emulate Ryan's faith and hard work. He's just a great guy.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning. Thank you all for joining us. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You can always reach me at Kevin Miller Show on Twitter. I guess that's you can follow me on Twitter if you find that compelling. I don't know how compelling that will be for you, but we'll do our very best. Some great stories there. As we move along here, we're joined by Hannah Parpart from the Idaho Humane Society. Hannah, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we usually see you on TV. We've had a chance to check out your facility. How goes it?
It goes pretty well. It's a busy time of year, as always, at the shelter.
Indeed. Let's talk a little bit about a program that y'all have started to help people that may not have enough money to take care of their four-legged or other family member.
Yeah. So we, in the last year, started the Easy Fund, which was actually started, supported for us by a donor that had passed away, and he specifically laid out this program in the way that he desired it to work, because he really was passionate about both shelter dogs, homeless dogs, and dogs in the community from low-income families being able to receive medical care when they urgently needed it.
And how does that work?
Well, the Easy Fund is a program that folks can apply for. They have to be income qualified, so it's typically people that make around poverty level wages or slightly above, and have a pet that has a condition that they could pass away or face economic euthanasia if it wasn't taken care of. So it's usually a pretty urgent medical condition.
Indeed. And this is something that happens to a lot of folks because they've lost their jobs or, you know, are working hard and, you know, can't seem to make it.
It's a whole wide variety of issues for sure. You know, sometimes it's folks that have something unexpected happen that's a large bill. And our shelter, we've always had programs for people to help with payment plans or reduced fees. And so this is just another added program to help us help more people keep their pets in their homes, like that safety net of keeping them with their families.
Right. How important is that?
It's a huge part of what we do. You know, everyone knows us for sheltering dogs and cats and helping homeless animals, but we're always trying to work to keep well-loved pets in their homes that they already have, too. That's a big part of our mission.
All right, Anna, let's talk a little bit about how much money you've raised and how people can contribute.
Well, the Easy Fund is fairly new, so we haven't done a whole lot of fundraising on it. It's a program that the donor that set it up put it in a trust, and a small amount of money is taken out of the trust every year to help a certain number of people.
Right.
But people can contribute to that fund to keep it going so that it continue to be successful. And it's called the Easy Fund. They can always donate at the shelter or on our website to support it.
And for those that let's make it easy for folks, what is your website?
It's IdahoHumaneSociety.org.
Well, that's good to know. And finally, tell us a little bit about, you know, some great dogs and cats and other things you have there.
We have a lot of great dogs and cats here. This is actually a time of year, kind of interestingly, I think people find out or they don't realize that we actually have fewer animals this time of year than we see other times of the year, largely because litters of puppies and kittens are being conceived or born this time of year. And so during the summer months is when we see the most animals. So sometimes people come in and feel disappointed that there isn't as many animals this time of year. But it's actually a great time of year for the staff because we have that much more time to work with really special needs animals. And so lately we've been working with a lot of ill or injured or special behavioral needs animals and helping get them up to speed and focusing on working with those pets when we aren't quite as crowded with animals.
Well, Hannah, we appreciate it. We'd love for people to come by, and you do have an adoption center as well, right?
Yeah, you know, we have our main shelter out on Dorman Street kind of behind the airport, but we love our adoption center that's in the PetSmart store right across from Boise Town Square there on Milwaukee. It's a little adoption center in the back of the store, but it packs quite a punch. We adopt out about a third of our animals from that adoption center just because there's so much more traffic with people going through there.
Well, and, you know, when you adopt a shelter pet, you're not really adopting. They're adopting you.
Well, I definitely believe that for sure.
Right. And, you know, on a personal, you have a dachshund, right?
I do. I have an old dachshund.
Yeah, those are the best ever between you and me. But
well, he definitely owns me because he thinks he's in charge of everyone.
Well, I know. He was running around there the last time that we were out there. And I just, you know, from one dachshund lover to another, thank you. And we encourage people to come by, and we'll be talking to you soon. And thank you, by the way, for all that you do and everybody at the Humane Society.
Well, thank you, Kevin. Have a good day.
You too, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, that's a great cause. The Idaho Humane Society. You know, I sit back and I think I think it was security guard Mike that that sent this to me. And you know, we have a lot of issues to talk about, and we'll talk a little bit about the big Gowan Field pep rally coming up in a minute. But it's been a great winter. Well, maybe if you're not a skier, but for the rest of us, if you're a skier, it hasn't been so great. But what really gets me, and we've done shows on this before, but I would just urge people, security guard Mike just sent me a thing, a picture of a little dog, well, not so little dog, on the back of a pickup truck. And if you love your animal, like I love my animals, I'd ask you to please not put your dogs on the back of the pickup trucks. And, you know, maybe it's an Idaho thing. Maybe I'm just a dumb monkey that will never understand it. You know, I'm sitting there at Lowe's or Home Depot or one of those places the other day, and people do this all the time. They leave their dogs in the summer, sometimes in the winter, in the back of their trucks, and they go in, watch a movie, go do things. Personally, I'm not a big fan of driving around with your pets, with your dogs. You know, bad things can happen, heat exhaustion. Who knows? Somebody could take your dog could see something and run away. And people always say to me, Kevin, you don't know what you're talking about. My dog is trained, and I get that, but I would not want to risk the lives of my three dogs. And if I had my way over the strenuous objections of Mrs. Miller, I'd have a lot more dogs in the Miller mini man cave, if you will. But I sit back, and it's, you know, it's getting towards that time of season, and I'm not going to beat up on people. I'm not going to sit there and say, well, da 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 da. I want to do this the Idaho way. I would just ask you to reconsider that, and it scares the blank out of me when I see those animals bounced around, and, you know, especially on the highway. I mean, if you talk to your vet or you talk to folks at the Humane Society or anywhere else, they'll give you horror stories of what happens to those animals when they get thrown. You know, it's a state law that we have to have seatbelts. But we don't protect our animals in the back. I believe it's illegal for people to be in the back of pickup trucks, and yet the dogs are fending for themselves, never mind how hot it gets. But, man, on the connector, on the highway, and then you have these dogs that are almost on top of the trucks and such. You know, if I could accomplish one thing in my now 20 years of broadcasting, and then it would be the end of this, and then I would go into oblivion and hang out with you and your friends, and I'd just be K. Millie doing his lawn, and, well, that's what I am. K. Millie, old man wearing his Crocs, still dressing like he's in seventh grade. I'd probably still be doing that. If I could accomplish one thing, it would be that no dogs, here in Idaho at least, would be on the backs of pickup trucks. I just, you know, I'm not saying this to be scandalous. I've learned a lot from you, I've learned a lot from the women that listen to this program, the men that listen to this program, on how to behave. And I like I said, I just sit back and I think, I wish, and I understand people say, look, I'm a farmer. I get that. And farmers, ranchers work bleeping harder than I ever will in my life. However, I don't really think, no, I'm not going to be a sissy here. In my opinion, you shouldn't have your dog in the back of a pickup truck if you're going on the highway or anyway. That's my opinion. We welcome yours. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We go to gun-toting Pat with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Good morning, ma'am.
Oh, good morning. When am I going to get rid of that title?
When you stop being a pistol-packing Pat.
I just wanted to tell you that last fall we lost two dogs within 2 weeks. They both were very sick, and my daughter didn't want me to go get another dog, but I went up to the SPCA, and they had a big sign up that said, adopt a senior dog. And since I'm a senior, I figured I'd give one of them a chance. And I adopted a little sweetheart called Molly, and she is the best little dog. She loves everybody. We went to my granddaughter's on Thanksgiving, and she just sat on everyone's lap and just had the best time. And so I would encourage people to go up there and take a look. Molly is 9 years old, but she acts like she's about three. And so
that's like a lot of people that I know that listen to this program.
Yeah, especially mind-wise. But she's a half beagle and half Australian cattle dog. So she has a beagle head and ears, and then the rest of her is cattle dog. And she just loves everyone, and she is such a pleasure to have around. I wanted one that liked cats, and she's really good with the cats. The cats kind of grudgingly accepted her, but you know, go up there and take a look at them. And
well, you
there
see, I would prefer
wonderful dogs. Up
I would
there.
Prefer a senior dog because you know, they're usually housebroken. They're usually great with people.
Oh, that's the way.
And they
she
don't
is.
And they don't have to run around and jump on you all the time like my little Buster.
And we showed her the doggy door, and she went in and out of it.
Now, this is really.
She had it all figured out.
This is really in-depth team coverage. I don't think you'll hear this on any other talk show in America. We're talking about a doggy door and a doggy.
Well, this doggy just loved
oh my
the doggy
gosh.
Door, and she's
yes.
in and out all the time.
Well, never let it be said that we don't have positive stories. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Gun-toting Pat that doesn't want to be called gun-toting anymore. We go to the Reverend Bill Roscoe at 580KIDO from the Boise Rescue Mission, boiserm.org. Good morning, sir.
Bless you, my son. How are you?
I'm just a wretched sinner, and you?
Well, sinner saved by grace, brother. So, you know, in my other life, I was a building contractor, and I had a long bed Datsun pickup, 1980. And I had my wife and I had English Mastiffs, and if you're familiar with the breed, they're huge dogs.
They are.
So we had a male. His name was Galdor, and Galdor used to ride to work with me because I built houses out in the rural areas, and he'd ride up in front. But pretty soon he got too big, so I put him in the back. But I put a hook and eye in the bed of the truck right in the middle, and I put enough leash on there so he couldn't jump out, you know, accidentally or fall out. And it worked out pretty good. And I kept water. Of course, I always had a pan of water and a pan of food in the truck, and every time I stopped, he got some. But I bought my cabinets from the same guy for years and years and years before I had the Mastiffs and then after. And he was a big guy, and he was kind of gruff and kind of, you know, rough and tumble kind of guy, but he built beautiful cabinets. So one morning I had Galdor tied in the back of my truck, and I went to pick up some cabinets, and he always helped me load them. So we're walking out to the truck, and he saw the dog in the back of the truck, and he had some expletives about the size of the dog. And I said, yeah, it's a good old dog right there. Don't be afraid of him. And as we walked up to the truck, man, my dog went berserk. I never saw him react like that to anyone. But he was barking and snarling and pulling on that chain like he was going to eat this guy alive. The guy dropped the cabinets and ran back in the shop. And every time I went there from then on, when he saw me, he'd ask if the dog was tied up or did I have the dog. He was scared to death of him. And this dog was a big – this dog was as sweet and loving as your little dogs are, Kevin. I'm not kidding. But, boy, when an English Mastiff goes off on you, you run.
You got that right, Reverend Bill.
No doggy door for those dogs, man. You need a garage door.
Exactly.
Anyway, just wanted to drop that on you, Kevin. Say good morning, and thanks for a great show. I love Marv Hagedorn. I'm sure glad you had him on. He's a good man. I think he's a real patriot, and glad he's over there representing us. So just wanted to say hi.
Well, maybe we'll hook up soon.
Well, I don't know. You know, your people and my people can't seem to get us together anymore. What's up with that? But
you've gone big time on me.
Yeah, well, you're the Marconi Award winner. What did I do? I'm a rescue mission guy.
I'm still wearing Crocs. That's all I've got to say.
You have a good one, Kevin Miller. God bless you.
God bless you, Reverend Bill. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Reverend Bill, BoiseRM.org. We go to Eric in Middleton. Eric, good morning. You're on 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. I'd just like to make a comment, some comments about what Senator Hagedorn had to say about HB 89, the Constitution Carry Bill, and other bills that have come through Idaho, gun bills that have been shelved. You know, I think most of us Idahoans just wanted to come to the full legislative floor and have a vote on it. And he tends to table these in committee. And all we're asking for in the Constitution Carry Bill is to have a full vote in the Senate and the House, where constituents can call in and talk to their representatives about it and get them to vote one way or not, instead of just killing the bill. And I'm curious to know how much money he gets from the NRA to support his candidacy.
Well, that's a good question. Maybe we'll get an answer. All right, Eric, thank you for the call. 821, time for traffic now, 580-KIDO.
The new video purportedly showing the beheading of 21 Christians from Egypt.
Amman following up on its word and taking revenge for the death of Jordanian pilot Mawaz Kasasbe, who was burned alive by ISIS.
There's something wrong with the world today.
They no more represent Islam than any madman who kills innocents in the name of God represents Christianity or Judaism or Buddhism or Hinduism.
Mr. President, the American people would like for once to know that you're willing to defend Christianity and defend America instead of defending Islam.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
Coming up, we'll talk to Brian Scott. He'll be piloting the number 2 Chevy Camaro in the NASCAR series, the Shore Lodge Camaro from Richard Childress Racing. That'll be coming up at 8:35. Remember, you can catch all the NASCAR action on our sister station, 6:30 The Fan. Kevin Miller in the morning. We go now to pro-life. Are you a big NASCAR fan?
No, I don't. Anything that's got over 4 cylinders, I don't understand it.
Wow.
No, I mean, I go to tractor. Well, I guess it's just got 4 cylinders. But anyway, I want to talk about constitutional carry. We shouldn't use that word unless we mean you can carry concealed, open, however, with no restriction whatsoever. And we're going to pervert that word if we use constitutional carry and then have a bunch of exceptions connected with it that you can't carry at a university, you can't carry, you know, wherever. So,
well, do you trust people with guns?
Sure.
Why do we not here in Idaho, it seems?
Well, I guess because we listen to the liberals.
Maybe we are liberals. Maybe you're a liberal.
No, for sure I'm not.
I'm just checking. We got to, you know, got to check people at the door.
No, I'm for sure not a liberal. But there's a lot of mushhead liberals around. And, I mean, people are getting educated like that all the time.
Hmm.
At school, wherever.
It sounds more like indoctrination.
Yeah, it is. That's what school is all about.
Except the pro-life school.
Right. Yeah, you know, well, anyway.
Well, you know what? You lost your train of thought?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
You know why Jesus turned out so good, don't you?
Why?
Because Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother homeschooled him.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yep. Well, anyway, God bless you, Kevin. And
God bless you, Pro-Life. It's been a good quality time. It's not even like we're doing a radio show. We're just kind of hanging out, you know, just sitting around a table, it seems like. In fact, a lot of people would say, what am I listening to? Two guys just yapping? Where are the issues?
Well, the issue is this. Don't be a Republican. They're too liberal.
Well, I will tell you, you're the only guy I know that has ever called Butch Otter a wimp to his face right in front of me in the broadcast center and lived to tell about it.
Well, I know.
You know, if I was Butch, because he's in a lot better shape than I am, I would have punched you in the nose.
Well, I can duck, you know.
Well, but what would you do? Would you use jujitsu on him or something?
I don't know. I'd use some farmer move on him.
What, the farmers have, like, self-defense?
Probably.
Probably. You're not going to reveal it, are you?
No, we keep it a secret.
Well, God bless you, my friend.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, our friend Pro-Life there. Coming up next, what's it like to drive over 200 miles an hour and get paid for it? We'll find out. Brian Scott joins us. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Joining us now, Brian Scott, driver of the number 2 Shore Lodge Chevrolet from Richard Childress Racing. Mr. Scott, thank you for joining us.
Hey, you're welcome. How are you doing?
I should ask you, first of all, I mean, what does it take to drive a perfectly good vehicle over 200 miles an hour in congested traffic on, you know, those banks that on Daytona or Talladega? What's that like?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun, and it takes a great team. We've got to have good engines, good aerodynamics. And of course, a lot of trust in our fellow competitors that sometimes is overstepped and big wrecks happen.
I was going to say, you know, you're driving for Richard Childress Racing, such a historic team when you're thinking about it and the expertise from your team and from Mr. Childress himself. What's that like?
Well, you know, the RCR organization is very storied. Obviously, Dale Earnhardt kind of brought the organization to the forefront and won all of his 6 championships, I believe, with RCR. It's awesome driving for a team that has such history. And obviously, we've got a lot of success at Daytona International Speedway. So when we come here, expectations are high, and we're all looking forward to trying to get Richard Childress in victory lane here at Daytona.
Well, you take a look at this. You've had 3 pole awards. What does it take to win the pole, either at Daytona or some of the places that you've won, whether it's Chicago or Richmond?
Well, the way that they do the qualifying format here now with the new rules is it's drafting qualifying on the super speedways, and that's fairly interesting of itself. It definitely levels the playing field. It gives a lot more cars opportunity to qualify on the pole. And it's difficult. You just got to be situationally lucky and in the right spot to have a chance at it.
You take a look at the sport. Is it tough to keep up with all the rule changes and, you know, technologically as well, what can and can't be put into a vehicle?
Yeah, the sport of NASCAR right now is changing very frequently with rules, with cars, even almost changing of the guards with competitors. That it's an exciting time. It's hard to kind of keep your hands on around everything, especially some of the qualifying procedures, and they're introducing a lot of technology now. And, you know, our partner Xfinity in what was the Nationwide Series is going to develop a lot of that. The sport is really trying to, you know, become current and use all of the resources that are out there and technology that's out there. And there's a lot of changes happening, but they're changes for the good. They're changes from the safety side, from the fan engagement side. You know, tracks are making changes to help the fan experience. You know, there's devices now where you can follow along. You can listen to drivers. You can watch them if you're not around a TV from your smartphone. It's pretty neat, all the tools that they've been implementing over the last couple of years.
You know, NASCAR is so much more than just driving. It's not only you represent a product, it's almost like you're part of the product, like you're part of the car.
Yeah, it is a product. You know, we're in the entertainment business, essentially. We're a professional sport that tries to go out there with the most competitive cars and the most people with the chance at winning to provide the most excitement that we can for fans and put on a good race. You know, racing is in our nation's DNA from way back to the bootlegger days, and and trying to smuggle moonshine. And I think it's why a lot of fans can connect to our sport and why we have such a large following, I think, second only to the NFL.
What's it like living in the Carolinas where racing is ubiquitous as hunting and fishing is here in Idaho?
Well, yeah, you know, I always joke that in the Carolinas, we're part of so many belts. We're part of the Bible Belt, the Tobacco Belt, and the Racing Belt. it's a lot of fun. You know, it needs to be part of a culture that everybody follows racing and everybody's involved in racing. And, you know, they know if you've had a good weekend, they know if you've had a bad weekend.
Well, and it's amazing how big it is there where you have NASCAR being covered like the NFL. I mean, NASCAR is the local sport there. You got the Panthers and now the Hornets again. But, I mean, people are into it. The passion of the fans, is that what inspires you?
Yes, I believe that the fans in NASCAR are the most passionate of any fan base. They really get involved, and I think NASCAR does a great job at doing things that make our stars, you know, the big names in this sport, more accessible to fans, and really work on the fan experience to deliver kind of more of the personal side of our lives and stuff that you can't get with any other sport. You know, any given weekend, there's a number of autograph sessions and meet and greets and question and answers where fans can go and meet and talk to and get their favorite driver's signature, where you don't really have that accessibility on the NFL side or the Major League Baseball side. It's tougher to get there. And any of our races, people can get pit passes for, where they can be on pit road, literally touching the pit box where we do pit stops, where the teams change tires and everything like that. That'd be equivalent to being on the field for an NFL game, and fans just can't get that. So I believe that's why we have the most passionate fans.
Now, Brian, y'all are only human, though. Is it tough sometimes to understand that, you know, you're on the stage as opposed to an NFL sideline when you don't know what Brady or Belichick are saying to each other? I mean, people monitor the radio. They're with the pit passes. They're, as you said, right there with you.
Yeah, you know, the modern day, that's just, I think that's relevant to anything. You almost can't say or do anything, no matter if you're a professional athlete or not, and it not be recorded or somebody know about it, especially with social media and everything, whether you're in football or not. You know, you have to be mindful of what you say, and you have to, you know, take into consideration a lot of factors.
Now, you've been driving since you were 12. What's it like to live your dream and to be successful at it?
Well, you don't hear me complain much. I definitely realize how fortunate I am to be a race car driver and to get to do what I love and what is my passion. You know, I'm very, like I said, I'm just very fortunate and very thankful for the opportunity, and I try to make the most of it.
Do you consider, are you like the honorary ambassador of the Gem State when people come up to you and they know you're from Idaho? Because I imagine, you know, there are more people from, let's say, California or the Carolinas or Indiana or the Southern Belt states than the Gem State.
Well, I'll tell you what's cool is Idaho is such a tight-knit community that it is neat when I go to places like Alabama and Florida and Tennessee and Illinois. I go to, you know, these racetracks all over the place, and fans seem to make it a point if they're from Idaho or if they spend a lot of time there or used to live there. They always track me down, and that becomes kind of a common thread or a bond that we have. It shows just kind of how small of a world it is for, you know, so many people, and to have so many run-ins and occurrences with other people from Idaho everywhere I go. It's really neat.
Brian Scott with us, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Brian, what's the most difficult track for you?
To me, the most challenging track is Darlington. It's a unique track. It's got two different corners as far as their shape and their banking. And it's a track where the preferred line is right up against the wall on the outside, and it's very difficult to pass. And it's you have a very low or a very slim tolerance for error since you're running right next to the wall.
Now, what has this week been like for you? And a lot of people think that, hey, once the season's over, y'all get to hang out and have some Bojangles or some Milo sweet tea or the barbecue there in the Carolinas. What's this week been like for you? And could you tell us a little bit about your off season?
Yeah, the off season really is a busy time, especially for guys at the shop. We go through and we put certain cars in the graveyard that we know aren't going to run anymore, and we're constantly updating and developing new chassis and new specs and new bodies and going through and updating cars that we know we're going to run again and going through everything and working feverishly to try to get a performance advantage over the other teams with, you know, shocks and springs and engines and everything like that. So it's hardly an off season like people think. It's really a lot of work. We just don't travel on the weekends. And this off season has been good. I feel like for RCR as a group, it's been very productive. I think that we've made a lot of gains in the performance side of things. That's really going to pay dividends throughout the course of this year and make us more competitive. And obviously leading up to the Daytona 500, there's just a lot of stress and emphasis to get qualified in the race. You know, tonight we have the, it's called the dual races, which essentially is like heat races. There's two of them that really will set the field for the Daytona 500. And that's different than any other track or any other race weekend that we go to. Normally the field's set just on qualifying times. Well, now we do qualifying times, which set the field for two dual races or two heat races, if you're more familiar with that. And that will actually set the field for the Daytona 500. So tonight's races are really big. And when the checkered flag falls, we'll know exactly if we're in the Daytona 500 and where we'll start, or if we're unfortunate and we didn't make the race.
Brian, first of all, two more questions. I know you've got to run, but do you get to relax when you come home? And what does coming home to Idaho mean to you and your family?
Yeah, Idaho is a special place. Obviously, my whole family still lives there. You know, last year, my wife and I got married at Shore Lodge. We enjoy our time in McCall and Boise. It's always great to get back and also see how much is changing. You know, when you're in it every day and in that area, it doesn't seem like much. But when you're me and you come back, you know, 3 to 6 times a year, you see things. You see the buildings and all the changes in the restaurants and the things like that that are changing so quick as Idaho continues to boom and develop and grow.
Your final thought here, and again, we appreciate your time. What about the retirement of Jeff Gordon? What does that mean to you?
Well, Jeff Gordon's been a huge figure in our sport. Obviously, he's a future Hall of Famer. Won 4 championships, 90-something races. Kid from California when he came in, you know, in the 90s, and has been around the sport for 23 years. He's made a huge impact. He's brought a fan base from California. He's made this regional southeastern sport more national, and is a huge figure. The sport is better because he competed in it, and I know that when he retires, he's really only retiring from driving the race car. I know he's still going to be involved, and you know, this sport is in his DNA, and he wants to see it succeed and do well. And I'm looking forward to racing with him this year. He's a tremendous competitor, and every time I'm on the track with Jeff Gordon, I learn something from him.
It's got to be wild racing with your heroes.
It is. It's neat, but you know, you can't get involved in that moment because I feel like you lose a competitive edge when you do that. You got to go out there, and whether they're Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, or whoever they are, if they're a hero of yours, you got to go out there and feel like and know that you can beat them.
Brian, to all your friends and family listening, what would you like to say?
Well, just tune in tonight. It's going to be an exciting weekend, and just thank them for all their support.
Brian, thank you. Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Brian Scott joining us. Remember, you can catch NASCAR on 630 The Fan, Daytona 500 this week, brought to you by the Diamond Girls. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Texas is leading a 26-state coalition in fighting the president's immigration reform plan, which could prevent, some say, as many as 5 million people in this country illegally from being deported. Governor Greg Abbott has led the fight since the days when he was state attorney general. He called it more than a victory for Texas.
This was a victory for America and for the rule of law and a victory for the Constitution.
The White House has promised an appeal. Grinnell Scott, Fox News Radio.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO, and it looks like reading the appeal that the president is having a little difficulty because the judge in the case, people from the New York Times will say he misjudged, he misspelled Judge Stevens by calling him Steffens or something like that. But having read the brief, the judge was very specific that the president, before he initiated his executive action, did not follow proper precedents, which is to get some feedback from the people. Now, the president's talking about appealing. If that does happen, that goes to, I believe, the Fifth Circuit, which for us, that's one of the good guys. They're conservative. They're out of New Orleans. So you're not going to have somebody like the Ninth Circuit, if you will. And then they're going to seek to rush it to the Supreme Court. But even if they did rush it, I don't think it could get on the agenda for the Supreme Court until September, right? Isn't that when the Supreme Court agrees to take cases and then they hear it? And then coming in June, we always have that right before the summer, here come the Supreme Court with their decisions. Thank you, Obamacare. So the president and his acolytes that want to legalize the illegals could be in a pickle. By the way, those folks that called in yesterday that I said, hey, send me an email, I'd love to get your opinions, never heard from them. 37 in Eagle, Kevin Miller in the morning, time for traffic.